Okay, good afternoon, folks. It's 5 p.m. Tuesday, May 24th, 2022. We would call the city council meeting into session. We start our meetings with an invocation and a pledge. The invocation will be led by Councilmember Blomquist and the Pledge of Allegiance by Mayor Pro Tem McCann. Join us if you'd like.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, send down upon those who hold office and lead in our city of Harker Heights the spirit of wisdom, charity, and justice, that with steadfast purpose that we may faithfully serve in our positions to promote the well-being of all our citizens. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me in the pledge to our nation's flag. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now to our Texas flag.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Next item on the agenda is paragraph three is a roll call. Spencer H. Smith, Mayor, is present. Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem.
Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem, is present.
Okay, thank you. Michael Blomquist, place two.
Michael Blomquist, Councilman, place two, is present.
Okay, thank you. Tony Cantorino has an excused absence. Linda Nash, place four, has just come in. Okay, good. Sam Halliby, place five.
Sam Halliby, place five, present.
Okay, thank you. City Manager David Mitchell.
City Manager David Mitchell, present.
Okay, thank you. City Secretary Julie Helsham.
City Secretary Julie Helsham, present.
Okay, thank you. Roll call is complete, and we do have a quorum. Paragraph four, consent items. Discuss and consider approving the minutes of the special meeting and regular meeting held on May 10th, 2022, and take the appropriate action. So if anybody wants to make a motion, just raise your hand. Okay, Councilmember Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes of the special meeting and regular meeting held on May 10th, 2022, and take the appropriate action.
Okay, thank you. Do I have a second? Okay, Councilmember Halliby has.
Sam Halliby, please, 5 seconds.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Hearing none, I'll poll the council. Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Michael Blomquist, place two, how do you vote?
It's Michael Blomquist, Councilman, place two, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Tony Cantorino, place three, has an excused absence. Linda Nash, place four, how do you vote?
Linda Nash, place four, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Sam Halliby, place five, how do you vote?
Sam Halliby, place five, vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And motion passes unanimously, 4-0. Next item on the agenda is presentation by citizens. Citizens who desire to address the council on any matter may do so during this item. Please understand that while the council appreciates hearing your comments, state law, Texas Government Code Section 551.042 prohibits them from, one, engaging in discussion other than providing a statement of specific factual information or reciting existing city policy, and two, taking action other than directing staff to place the matter on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record and limit your comments to 3 minutes. We do have one green sheet, and Mr. Abrams, do you want to address this time?
Yes,
okay, and we've got your name and address on here, so please limit your comments to 3 minutes.
Yes.
Just go ahead and come to the microphone, please.
Very informal.
It's being recorded, so.
Okay. So I've addressed the city council by calling several times before. My biggest issue in particular is on Mustang Trail. People tend to fly very low on that road. I've called several times and they've always sent the standard response of bringing out the big white box to do the traffic survey. And with no due offense to anyone here, but the citizens of Harker Heights know exactly what that box does. And while that box is sitting out there, they tend to behave in a more appropriate manner. I'm an at-home woodworker, so I sit in my garage all day just doing projects, and so I've literally watched it. The last time it was placed, within 10 minutes of the box going down, traffic started flying low over the road again. My biggest concern is specifically on our street, we have several autistic kids, including my son, and as much as you can try and control autistic kids, sometimes they're just crazy and they run out. Same concern, kind of lumped in the whole thing, is a supposed, it's a rumor that I heard, of proposing a new ordinance limiting parking on the sides of the streets, public streets, which I fully encourage. My concern is that if we limit that, it's going to counteract the ordinance that was passed last year with extending the parking lot of, or not parking lot, but driveway of one's personal residence. My biggest concern is it is a personal residence, it is private property. In my opinion, and maybe I hold this opinion only to myself, a city government's scope of responsibility is over public land, public streets, which would mean that the public parking on the side of the street ordinance would be 100% justifiable. However, when one needs to put said vehicles that they've acquired on their personal property, how they do that without expanding their driveway. There was a comment from someone, I cannot remember who it was, that was directed at me when I called at one point. And the individual said that when one moves to the city, they give up certain liberties, which I found extremely disgusting because in my opinion, in the Constitution, it says that the government is responsible for protecting life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Hindering one's liberties is not acceptable to me. It also says in there that pursuit of happiness, so while I understand that some citizens call and complain and things like that, happiness is not guaranteed by a governmenting body. It's the pursuit of happiness. And one's personal property is by nature one's personal property. It formulates in the same issues that I had about ripping up my driveway so that I could eventually repave it. I was informed that by state code, or not state code, city ordinance, it had to be a non-permeable surface. My issue is that if somebody comes onto my property, my personal property, they trip on my driveway because it is cracked and it's in various states of disrepair that I'm attempting to fix, and they sue me for personal injury because it is my personal property, but the city wouldn't let me rip up my driveway to eventually repave it. Am I responsible for that personal lawsuit, or is the city responsible because the city told me I couldn't rip it up? So there are a lot of conflicting issues. It all stems from, again, personal safety, same with the street parking. In general, just, it's my personal property. I understand I have to keep it in good repair. I can't be growing a meth lab in my backyard. I can't be doing things that are illegal by state and federal statutes, which I 100% understand. But due to other ordinances that I won't go into detail, it limits some other things. Again, understand farm animals on a personal property and a housing development is not allowed. Having a cow, you know, herd in your backyard and you only have a third of an acre, understand. Having a few chickens or maybe a pig that you're, you know, raising as a pet or to feed your family should be within the scope of your personal property as long as it's not covering a huge, you know, public nuisance. You're not allowing chicken feces to pile up on your driveway or your fence and it's impeding, again, the freedoms and liberties of your neighbors. One's personal freedoms are one's personal freedoms as long as they don't encroach on another's personal freedoms. And that, in my opinion, is what it, you know, it is to be an American. You have these personal freedoms, and I don't know what my time is, so I'll wrap up, but it's a whole bunch of issues. I've discussed them. Speed control on the street, which I've been told can't be done because if someone crashes on the speed control, then the city's liable. Well, they wouldn't crash if they were doing the speed limit. So again, it ropes into personal responsibility, personal safety. Mm-hmm. It is a personal responsibility, but the city does have some control, in my opinion, on public streets.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Abrams. And we also have your address as 813 Mustang Trail.
Yes, sir.
That's correct. And the city manager has taken notes, and we have all the appropriate directors that are here. So thank you for your comments.
Awesome. I will leave because I have kids to keep. Thank you for your all time.
Okay, thank you. Okay, is there anyone in the room that would like to make a presentation to the council at this time? Okay, seeing none, we'll close paragraph 5 and we'll move on to paragraph 6, regular business. Receive and discuss the fiscal year 2021-2022 second quarter investment report, finance director.
Sorry, thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. In your package, you have your investment report for the second quarter of fiscal year 2022. The total amount that was invested as of March 31st, 2022 was $41.9 million. And that was $8.7 million more than the $33.2 million that was held by the city as of the same time last year. In the table above, on your agenda memo, total investments did increase by $4.8 million from the first quarter of the 22 fiscal year. Transactions during the second quarter that caused this include the following activity. The general fund's maintenance and operations portion of the property tax payments received during the second quarter totaled approximately $4.8 million. The utility fund did make $1.5 million in transfers during the first quarter. So if you recall, the first quarter's investment report did show a negative change. And since there was no budgeted transfers this quarter, that is why you have a positive change this quarter. The Capital Projects Fund made payments for projects to include the wastewater bar screen improvements, the 2021 street improvement project, Warriors Path Phase 2, sewer rehabilitation projects, and the sidewalk projects that are currently going on in the city. The debt service fund's interest and sinking portion of the property tax payments received was about $1.4 million. And in February 2022, debt payments were made, and this was the interest-only portion. Your principal and interest portion of debt payments will be made in August. The restricted court fund made all of its budgeted transfers, totaling $83,500 during the second quarter. And those transfers were made to the general fund. The coronavirus fund funded the following. From the coronavirus relief fund, tactical shields, vehicles, and radios were purchased during the second quarter. And from the coronavirus state and local relief funds, or ARPA money, Rummel Road lift station upgrade and second belt press installation payments were made. The city does currently have investments with the Bank of China, Bank of India, and State Bank of India, which are all located in New York City, New York. These investments are allowable by the city's investment policy and the Public Funds Investment Act, or PFIA, as it's known, based on the following. Number one, they're invested through our approved broker-dealer, Stifel Nicholas. Our broker-dealer arranged the deal with staff approval. And the full amount of the principal and interest is insured by FDIC, or Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. And finally, the city has a designated depository bank that acts as the custodian for all of the transactions. Now, moving to your actual report, you'll go to page 3, please. That's the detail of the investment report. Excuse me. About halfway down, you'll note that your ending market value for your certificates of deposit total about $4.7 million. If these were to have been sold on the market, we would have lost a value of about $12,729. As we always note, these are not callable investments. We do not purchase anything that's callable. This is, however, something that we do have to show based on the Public Funds Investment Act. And so that is why that's there, just to, as an informational purpose. If you'll notice the last two columns on the right, your interest rates, just as a matter of information, I wanted to show you your interest rate changes for all of these categories. Your interest rate changed from 0.206 as of December 31st, and the average interest rate as of March 31st is 0.289% for your certificates of deposit. You go down to page 4, about 3/4 of the way. Your checking account balance ending March 31st is about $13.3 million. And this is a fixed interest rate. This is a fixed interest rate of 0.15. Most of our checking accounts are with Bancorp South, our depository bank. And it's on page, I guess, 14 of 64, I'm sorry, but page 4 of the investment report. Yes, ma'am. Sorry for that confusion. Most of our checking accounts are with Bancorp South Bank. That interest rate is 0.15%. Again, that's a fixed interest rate. We do have one checking account with First National Bank Texas, and that is also a fixed interest rate of 0.10. So with that taken into account, the average interest rate is a fixed rate of 0.150. The next category is our IntraFi network deposits, formerly known as CDRS. It is an ending market balance of about $6.5 million. I'm sorry, let me make sure I'm reading that right. This is very small. your interest rate at December 31st was 0.074%, and your interest rate at the end of March 31st was 0.402%, to give you an idea of how interest rates are, again, improving. Yes. And then finally, on page 5 of the report, page 15 of your packet, your pool accounts, we have three pools, Lone Star, Techstar, and Texas Class. The total in all three pools is about $17.4 million, ending March 31st. And the average interest rate for all three of those at December 31st was 0.055%. The average interest rate ending March 31st was 0.251%. Altogether, again, your total market value was $41,874,274.64 at the end of March 31st. Your average interest rate for all investments at December 31st was 0.126, and your average interest rate for March 31st was 0.247%. So that's how the rates have improved over those past 3 months. Looking at page 6, the next page, is your maturity ranges. The items in 0 to 1 month maturity, as noted in your agenda memo, are your checking pools and the three CDs that I mentioned earlier. Those total $31.4 million, and it's about 75% of your entire portfolio. So we are very liquid at this time. At the bottom, your total 9 to 12 months maturity that are in that 9 to 12 months maturity range totals about $4.4 million, and that is about 10.5% of your portfolio. And just as a reminder, our investment policy does allow us to invest up to 2 years for a maturity. And that concludes my presentation on the investment report. Sorry, if you have any questions.
Okay, are there any questions to there's no action on this. Any questions from the finance director? Okay, again, just one question. So again, that our advisor that we go through to get these certificates of deposit, again, is that their recommendation also, even though our investment policy is for us to go out to 24 months, is the reason to keep it shorter is because the numbers are changing so fast right now?
That is one thing, as well as we're slowly building up our portfolio again with the rates slowly gaining.
Yeah, okay, good. Anything else? Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Item number 2, under regular business, discuss and consider approving an ordinance of the City of Harker Heights, Texas, amending Title 7 Transportation Code, Chapter 70, 71, 72, 74, and 75, and take the appropriate action. Police Chief.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. Phil Gadd, Chief of Police. With me is Commander Steffick. He's over our patrol division. Prior to that assignment, he managed our traffic management unit. as stated in our discussion, this is to amend Title VII of our transportation code. Commander Steffi being our expert, I've asked him to come before you and tell you those changes and how they affect our city.
Good evening. Randy Steffi, Commander with Arkwright's Police Department. As Chief Gadd mentioned, we're bringing before you a proposed ordinance to change Title VII of the Transportation Code in our Code of Ordinance currently. I do want to start off by letting you know that we did spend numerous hours with multiple staff members, not only from our Police Department's Traffic Management Unit, but as well as our Planning and Zoning Department staff, to help ensure that what was presented tonight is as accurate as we possibly can so that we don't have to revisit this again and bring this ordinance back up to 2022 standards for our city. As you have a copy of this, I just want to hit a couple of highlights in here, bringing forward section number 2 in the ordinance. It's bringing upon new authority for the police chief to be authorized to place and direct signage within the city of Harker Heights, traffic-related signage, to be placed without having to come to council every time to help relieve that burden from y'all so that we can get those actions pushed forward. Section 3 covers some basic definitions. We did do a addition to that particular section, adding the definition of police chief as the department's highest-ranking officer, of course. And we also retitled traffic unit to traffic management unit just to keep with the verbiage within our own department policies and so forth. Section 4 goes over a written report of traffic crashes. That section hadn't been updated since like the 1980s. So using the new information in 2022 with the state transportation code, we're basically rewriting that just to keep in line with current standards and reporting standards. Section 5 goes over the authority to install, again, giving the designated official, the police chief, the authority to place those signs based upon traffic studies and so forth that he would order, and also following in compliance with the Texas Manual on Uniform Traffic Control Devices, so that those signs are being placed not only adequately, but in conjunction with standards that are across the state of Texas and the United States in general. So those are gonna be there as well. Section 6, under the manual specifications, just some verbiage that was cleared up in there to establish, instead of specific volumes of the manual and uniform traffic control devices, it's as amended now, so that as that grows throughout the years, we're gonna be using the most updated sections, and we don't have to revisit this particular ordinance in the future. Section 7, the traffic control sign inventory, this is something new. Prior to its existence, we had tables or schedules of stop signs and yield signs placed in the ordinance that would have to be adopted on and so forth. Those have been since been removed, and this is being recommended as the alternative to where we would have a complete inventory of all traffic control signs, stop signs, yield signs specifically within the city, and that would be maintained at the police department for further inspection and just accountability at that point. Section 8 governs over a couple of different state statutes that the city has adopted as well. Again, just cleaning up the language in there to reflect what is current in the Texas Transportation Code so we can mirror that as well. And as it grows through legislative sessions and changes, it's again mentioned that's going to be enforced as amended, so we won't have to revisit that either. Section 10, again, talks about the authority of the police and fire department officials where the chief of police or his or her designee can evaluate whenever signs need to be placed and so forth, and we have that put in place in that capacity. Section 11 talks about the traffic management unit. Again, this is just verbiage for the most part where we were changing traffic unit to traffic management unit just to marry things up with current policies and procedures within the police agency. Section 12 is where the stop and yield intersections come into play. It defines obedience to those particular stop and yield intersections as well as the placement of said signs. Section 13 is again an update to the state statute for the transportation code regarding overtaking a passing school bus, as well as stopping, standing, parking in prohibited certain areas where no signs are required, such as parking within 30 foot of a stop sign, 20 foot of a crosswalk, et cetera. No signs are required on that under state statute. We will just mirror that. Section 15 regulates the speed limits within the city of Harker Heights. There are a few tables or schedules of speed limits inside of here. It should be noted that no speed limits have been altered in this. They've been updated to reflect what is currently on the roadway system as it's marked currently. There has been some verbiage that has been cleaned up where older Older ordinances didn't have spelling correct and so forth, but the speed limits themselves did not change. It's just been updated to reflect what's in the city as of 2022. It's Schedule 2 talks about school zones. Likewise, there was some changes that were added to this to reflect what is currently out in our current school zones in the city limits. Some of that was needing to be updated to reflect some of our new school zones, as well as some of the changes that had happened years ago, but it's now included in here and been updated accordingly. The next section would be Schedule 3, discussing one-way streets. Again, just updated to reflect current standards in 2022 with what we have within the city. If I remember correctly, the only one that was really added to this schedule was the Edwards Drive. For whatever reason, it was left off before. Under Chapter 75, the parking schedules, nothing has changed inside of there, so we literally just mirrored that from what's currently in the ordinance. And other than that, we just ask for you to review, and if you have any questions at this time, I'll be more than glad to help answer.
Staff does recommend approval of this ordinance.
Okay, thank you. And Council, any questions for Chief? Go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman, Place 2. Officer Stefik, I seem to recall in my class that I took with the police academy here and my battle buddy over there, Councilwoman Nash, that y'all had a really, really large traffic manual that was, I believe it was published annually by the state of Texas. Is that something that's reflective of these ordinance changes or the reflexes, you know, because obviously we adhere to state law, then we come back down to city ordinances. So is that kind of reflective of that as well?
I'm not sure which manual you're specifically talking about. There are a couple that were mentioned in here. We have the State Transportation Code, which is pretty thick.
Right.
And there are some titles that are captured with inside of this ordinance just to help bring that together.
I'm sure it references it then. So.
But then we also have another thick manual, which is your manual on uniform traffic control devices, which establishes the rules and regulations upon how to place signage, when to place signage, and just follow those guidance rules on that stuff.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir. Any other questions or comments from the council? In going through this, I saw that we have 1,126 yield and stop signs and growing. So as y'all looked at this thing, how do you coordinate that within the different departments, say with planning? How do you coordinate that as the city continues to build new neighborhoods and that type of thing?
So currently what we typically will do is any new neighborhoods that are developed, any new streets, typically we will get with the street department, Mark Hyde specifically, to discuss, you know, what the proper signage would be, if any is needed, so forth. And then with this new ordinance, we would have that master list of stop signs, yield signs. The chief of police or his designee would obviously review any recommendations. And then once that's approved, it would get documented, logged into that inventory, installed, and carried out.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from the council? Okay, hearing none, this is regular business. Do I have a motion? Councilmember Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman, Place 2. I'd like to make a motion to approve an ordinance of the City of Harker Heights, Texas, amending Title 7, Transportation Code of the Harker Heights Code.
Okay. Thank you, Councilmember Nash.
I second the motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Okay, hearing none, I'll poll the council. Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Michael Blomquist, Place 2, how do you vote?
It's Michael Blomquist, Councilman, Place 2. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Tony Cantorino, Place 3, has an excused absence. Linda Nash, Place 4, how do you vote?
Linda Nash, Place 4, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Yes. Sam Hallaby, Place 5, how do you vote?
Sam Hallaby, Place 5, vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Motion passes unanimously, 4-0. Item number 3, under regular business, discuss and consider approving an amendment of the Economic Development Incentive Agreement with Gambit Social House Incorporated, Gambit in parentheses, modifying the construction completion date to October 31, 2022 for the administration of one or more programs for making grants or loans of public money to promote economic development and stimulate business and commercial activities within the city. and authorize the city manager to sign the agreement on behalf of the city and take the appropriate action. Assistant City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor, City Council. The council approved a 380 agreement with Gambit Social House during a regular scheduled council meeting on the 8th of June of 2021. Due to the rain slowing down the progress early in the construction phase, an extension was granted by the council from March 31st of 2022 to June 1st, 2022. As a reminder, the 380 agreement of the Texas Local Government Code allows a city to establish and provide for the administration of one or more programs for making grants or loans of public money to promote economic development. The agreement provides reasonable and adequate safeguards to ensure that the public receives sufficient benefits in exchange for the incentives. Gambit Social House has requested an additional extension for the completion date to be changed from June 1st to October 31st of 2022. And this is due to some material shortages, the lumber, and of course the technology supplies that they're trying to get into the Gambit Social House. So staff has reviewed it, the city attorney has reviewed it, and staff recommends approval. And I'll be more than happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Okay, thank you. Council, any questions for Mr. Bark? Okay, just got a question with the owners or developers of this business. Are y'all having a regular communication? They give you a timely heads up on their progress that necessitated this?
Yes, sir. They contacted us about 2 months ago, concerned about the deadline, and we told them to wait until May, and then we promoted the
okay, Mr. Mitchell.
Document.
Mayor, Christina's nodding her head out there. They're in really good communication with Christina in terms of what's going on the site, in terms of materials arriving and any slowdowns that they've had. So we've been aware of their need to extend it out for some time. Obviously, we want to get it back in front of you before the current agreement expired, and the owner of Gambit is here with us tonight as well.
Okay, good. Okay, Councilmember Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. I just wanted to note that I believe it was a couple weeks ago, Ms. Pence had posted it was like a snapshot of a walkthrough they did, and it looks like there was a lot of development that had gone on. You know, all the walls are up, and they're in the process of renovating the inside portion now. So it looked very promising what's going on. So.
Okay, good. Any other questions from the council? Okay, hearing none, I do have a motion. Okay, Mayor Pro Tem McCann.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to make a motion to approve amending the Economic Development Incentive Agreement with Gambit Social House, Inc., modifying the construction completion date to October 31st, 2022, for the administration of one or more programs for making grants or loans of public money to promote economic development and stimulate business and commercial activities within the city, and authorize the city manager to sign the agreement on behalf of the city.
Okay, thank you. Do I have a second? Okay, Councilmember Hallaby.
Sam Hallaby, please, 5 seconds.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Okay, hearing none, I'll poll the council. Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Michael Blomquist, place 2, how do you vote?
It's Michael Blomquist, Councilman, place 2, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Tony Cantorino, place 3, has an excused absence. Linda Nash, place 4, how do you vote?
Linda Nash, place 4, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Sam Hallaby, place 5, how do you vote?
Sam Hallaby, place 5, vote yes.
Okay, thank you. The motion passes unanimously 4-0. Next item under regular business, number 4, receive and discuss the city manager's report.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. For our citizens, there are extra copies of the city manager's report on the table there on the left as you're exiting the double door, so please grab a copy because I'll just be hitting the highlights tonight. I do want to point out, Council, to start out with the police department, which is on page 2 of your report. Community Services will be hosting the annual Cops and Kids in the Park event at Kern Park. That will be June the 23rd from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. So look for more information. I know Julie will have that on your calendars as you get a little closer, but if you want to go ahead and mark that down, please put that as a placeholder. Also, Parks and Recreation, they are congratulating Angel Rodriguez. He was honored by his coworkers as the April Parks and Rec Employee of the Month. Moving to your next page, Council, want to point out that if you don't have a fishing license, that's not a problem. June 4th is free fishing day in the state of Texas, and join the Go Heights program from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. at Carl Levin Pond to try your hand at fishing. Moving down to our senior recreation program, about middle of the page there, Council, the Recreation Center is wrapping up Older Americans Month with We Go Bananas for our seniors. That will be May the 25th from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Join us for banana splits and ice cream sundaes at the Recreation Center. Moving to our next page, Council, I do want to again remind you of the special event there. Obviously, I think you've gotten some other invites on this, but the City of Harker Heights and Veterans Council invite everyone to the Memorial Ceremony and Remembrance Walk 2022. The ceremony will be at Carl Levin Park Amphitheater there at 400 Miller's Crossing on Saturday, May the 28th at 9 a.m. with the walk to follow. It will feature a traditional wreath laying to honor those who gave their lives. Following the ceremony will be a remembrance walk around the park. Council, further back in the report, just want to point out you do have your economic development report, as well as a couple summaries from code enforcement, one covering for the month of April, and the other, I believe, is kind of your year-to-date summary of that. Council, that concludes my report. Other than to say, keep an eye. We put out some stuff today on this. Keep an eye on the weather tonight. Apparently, we are in an area that has shown that possibly could experience some severe weather tonight. So we encourage all citizens all to stay tuned into the weather tonight.
Okay. Any questions for the city manager on his report? Any comments on the farmer's market? Is that coming? Okay, good. Okay, next item is paragraph 7, items from the council and announcements, and number one, council member closing statements. Council member Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, councilman, place two. On 12 May, I attended the Harker Heights After Hours Chamber Business Social that was hosted by the Smile Doctors. And it was a very well put on event. Many businesses attended, and Smile Doctors went above and beyond. It was very well laid out. Councilwoman Nash was also in attendance there with me there, so it was a great event. On May 14th, I attended the farmer's market. This was the opening there for that weekend, where it was kind of the soft opening, I guess, that weekend. So we didn't have a full farmer's market going on, but it was very well attended. We had two different farmers, which we're real happy to see. Lots of vegetables, so please come out early if you want to get vegetables at the farmer's market. Miss Leanne Bohr had tons and tons of squash and zucchini and turnips, yes. So all kinds of stuff. So come on out for fresh veggies. She also had lots of farm eggs. On May 19th, I attended the Harker Heights Chamber Lunch Mob. They had over 30 people in attendance there at Bella Sarah. It was a great crowd, lots of good fellowship with the local business community here in Harker Heights. Ms. Pence was there in attendance, and the mayor also attended with us there as well. So it was a great opportunity to have some fellowship and have some great food there at one of our local businesses. On May 21st, I again attended the Harker Heights Farmers Market here at City Hall. The mayor was there in attendance when I saw him there. We were walking around. I had to rush over to make sure I got my baklava before the mayor and his wife got over there to secure those. So again, it was a great event. We had some competition from other surrounding municipalities this past weekend, but I anticipate this next weekend is going to be a full event coming up. So please come out again for the farmers market. This morning, I attended the KISD Board of Trustees meeting where Oliver Mintz was sworn in as the newest board member. He didn't get to attend for the original swearing in because he had the honor of pinning his son, commissioning him as a second lieutenant. So this morning the board swore him in and they conducted their meeting. So that was a great event there. So again, I encourage all citizens to come out and check out the farmer's market. As I said, starts at 09. This Saturday though, we have our memorial walk. So it's scheduled to start at the same time. So we're gonna participate in the memorial walk first, and then we're all going to hopefully walk across and attend the farmer's market. So please come on out and participate in our activities here in Harker Heights. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Mayor Pro Tem McCann.
Mine's brief. I just wanted to put on record that after waiting in the parking lot to the very busy baseball fields for about 30 minutes, I made it to the farmer's market. And it was great. It was a great turnout. And then Leanne does have a wonderful table and setup of veggies. But I wanted to make sure for Councilman Blomquist that I put that on record.
Good. Councilmember Halaby.
Sam Halaby, place five. First of all, Michael, you need to stay a little bit longer because I visited there and you were not there, so. Second, I had the honor to go to the National Training Center in Fort Irwin, California, from the 21st to the 23rd. And it is really a very touchy. It's an amazing experience, you know, how our military here, what they go through, and this hard training that they get. Talk to a few people, and they take it so seriously to the point that, you know, we talked to some people there that they've been there for like 3 weeks with no shower, no, just get their food, get their drinks. It was a very amazing experience for me, and I just want to mention that too. So,
good, thank you. Good. Anybody else? Yes. Councilmember Nash.
Councilmember Nash, place four. Last Saturday on the 21st, the Harker Heights Community Resource Center did their every third Saturday food distribution off of Veterans Memorial. So if you want to volunteer, please come out and do that. Also, I attended the Hoops Fest. It was their inaugural event that they had at Shoemaker. They invited both Harker Heights PD and Killeen PD. And of course, Harker Heights PD rocked it. Mm-hmm. Because they were right there. We had both our chief and deputy chief there. We spoke to the people, the children that were a part of the program. And I also attended the business mixer.
Good. Okay, good. Anything else from the council? Okay, now moving on, last number two, update and announcements from the mayor. Just a few items here. May 12th, I attended the Central Texas Council of Governments, the executive board meeting in Belton. Also on the 12th, I attended the Harker Heights City Hall meeting with city staff. On May 13th, I attended the Three Corps reception and ribbon cutting ceremony at the People First Center at Fort Hood. On May 17th, I attended the Harker Heights City Council workshop at the Harker Heights Activity Center. On May 19th, I attended the Harker Heights Cares Committee meeting at the Harker Heights Activity Center. On the 19th, I attended the Harker Heights Chamber of Commerce lunch mob at Bellacera Restaurant. Made a couple new friends, so a great time of conversation and food. On the 19th of May, I attended the Killeen Education Foundation Star Makers Award Ceremony and banquet at the Killeen Conference and Convention Center. And also on the 21st, I attended the Harker Heights Farmers Market, and Councilmember Blomquist got all the vegetables, so that's that. Okay, anything else, Mr. Mitchell?
No, sir.
Okay, the time is 5:43, and we're adjourned.
So who do you think you're going to go?